7 p.m. and it's time for lunch. Hi, everybody. This is Around the Table Live from the City of Gastronomy, where each and every day we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, lawmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, healers, foodies, and friends. We save the seat at the head of the table for you, our guest of honor. Are we on? Awesome. Nice to see you. So, today's election day, and I think it's one of those unusual election days because am I correct in understanding that there's actually no, you don't go to the polling place, you mail it all in? Well, we're going to find out. The mayoral race is hotly contested. A lot's at stake. Much is on the line. And we're going to be talking a little later on in this hour to Kelly Fryer, former gubernatorial candidate Kelly Fryer, who is going to be calling in and reminding everybody that if they haven't voted yet, if they haven't gotten their vote in the mailbox to do so, that it is still time to get that done. Last night, we had an amazing event in the City of Gastronomy right here. We had the knife fight. And the knife fight took place at the playground, and the participants were really, they were on top of their game. And of all the venues that host knife fight, the playground really, it was so fun. It was super fun. It felt like it was designed just for this competition of chef on chef competition. Chef against chef, blind box, secret ingredients. Three courses, 45 minutes, tight time, tight deadlines, give it a taste of place. A little later on, the knife fighters are going to be calling in and sharing what happened last night. They had cocktail fight as well, and the secret ingredients were really delicious. Poblano chilies, huitlacoche. You want to know where you are in the world, all you need to do is take one sip and one bite, and you got a really distinctive, bright, memorable expression of how this place tastes. And later on in the show, we are going to talk with Linda Ray. She's going to be joining us to talk comedy. And the thing about the comedy scene in Tucson is that she covers it for Tucson Weekly and will tell us about some of the best shows around and how to spend our time this weekend. Of course, every Wednesday we speak with Jeff Gardner, who's the associate editor of Tucson Weekly, and he comes and talks to us about what's coming up on the next issue, which always drops on Thursdays. Of course, Thursdays we go to Tucson Foodie headquarters and we do the Tucson Foodie Edition live from the City of Gastronomy from downtown. And what's really fun about that is every Thursday we go live on remote to the Tucson Foodie headquarters and all the downtown chefs and all the downtown foodies that are slammed at lunchtime can steal away for a few minutes and still come and be with us and come be with us live. So, and not only that, we get the Tucson Foodie crew. So rather than, you know, making the mountain come to Mohammed, we go there and we make them really a big part of the show. The Tucson Foodie crew are really gaining a name for themselves too. Melissa Steele was there last night at the knife fight, and she was the one who was videoing and chronicling live on Facebook Live. And Jackie Tran is one of the hardest working and most discerning culinary journalists working in the U.S. today. His reviews and his opinions are becoming very quickly the gold standard of where to go and what to eat in this town. You know, I hate to say it, but guys like Jackie Tran, who really do go everywhere and taste everything with discernment and connoisseurship, they almost render things like Yelp obsolete, because why would you need anything else or anyone else when you have somebody like Jackie Tran giving you a sense of where everything is delicious. And a shout out to the Chef Wang. We were there recently for a dinner with out-of-town guests who had lived in Asia and wanted to, really with very limited expectations of the old Pueblo, said, well, sure, yeah, we can get Chinese food. So they were so happily surprised that the things that they were accustomed to eating when they lived in Asia were met and matched by the cuisine of Chef Wang. So we want to give Chef Wang's on Grant Road a shout out and some well-deserved kudos for the delicious cuisine that they're preparing. And we would love to hear from you, 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040. This is Around the Table, where each and every day we talk to the most interesting tastemakers, lawmakers, style makers, movers and shakers in town. And by the way, you want to see what's going on in here? You want to see all of my Michigas in person? You want to see how much I carry around with me? I'm like a hermit crab. I live with my house on my back, right? With this giant backpack. But yeah, you can go to kvoi.com and you can click Watch It Now and you can see what we're up to here in the studio. So hang on one second. I'm going to move all this debris and detritus down off the desk. So here's what I want to know. I'm gonna throw it out there, and I think everybody on the station is gonna do the same throughout the day because it's election day. We want to hear from you. 520-790-2040. Have you got your ballot in? Have you voted yet? And do you want to talk about who you voted for? I know we don't usually do a lot of political things because we're having lunch, but today's election day, and we've had candidates on in the weeks leading up to this, and we'd love to hear from you. 520-790-2040. Who'd you vote for? Are you allowed to say? Are we allowed to ask that? Is that like an FCC thing? I don't know. I don't mean to break a rule inadvertently. But if you want to talk about it, I'd love to hear from you. The other thing is that this is going to be Labor Day weekend coming up. And for a lot of people, Labor Day weekend is this really pivotal time between the summer and the autumn, back to school. If you're from any other part of the world, like I'm from New England, Labor Day was when you went back to school. We've already been back here a couple of weeks, but in places around the country, you went to school and started school after Labor Day. And so if you started school after Labor Day, this became the last hurrah, so to speak. And there would almost inevitably and always be fantastic barbecues. And depending on what part of the world you were from and what your culinary traditions were and your family traditions were, you could have ended up with any manner of things, because barbecue, and in the traditional family eat outside, cook on a grill sense, isn't just about what we now know barbecue to be, which is low and slow and smoky. And so we're going to be talking a little later on this week with Ken Alexander from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. Because if you want some of the best, really delicious traditional barbecue and sides for your Labor Day weekend party, this is the place I'm going to send you to. Ken's Hardwood Barbecue is located on 22nd between Craycroft and Wilmont. And I think they're really super. They do a terrific job. Now, there's a lot going on in the world of chicken and waffles, too, because as you remember, we had Chef Russell Michel from the Canyon Ranch last week. He's the executive chef at the Canyon Ranch Spa. And he had a group in that requested chicken and waffles. And of course, when you do it Canyon Ranch style, you're going to get it lightened up and brightened up. You're going to get it nice and healthy, ultra delicious. And it's just not going to be that bland, heavy, greasy that you can find if somebody does the chicken and waffles in an ordinary way. So imagine that it's becoming a thing here in Tucson. It's becoming a thing actually around the country. People are paying a lot of attention to chicken and waffles. And where would you go? We're getting some conflicting reports where the best in town. I am a big Drunken Chicken fan because I think their chicken and waffles are delicious. But we're getting a lot of red flashing arrows pointing at the new Prep and Pastry, saying that they are the ones that are actually elevating that game. I still have to include my favorite fried chicken in town on its own from Gus Ballon's. I love Gus Ballon's. I can't say that I've had their waffle, but, you know, I bet if you ordered it together, it would be pretty superb. I don't think they're designed to go together, but I'd put that in there with everybody or anybody else's. I bet it's pretty good. So where is your favorite chicken and waffles in town? 520-790-2040. And we also want to make mention of the fact that Restaurant Week is coming up. Not just any Restaurant Week, Sonoran Restaurant Week. The region is going to be celebrating with Price Feek's menus at lunch and dinner at some of our favorite places throughout the region, not strictly and just in downtown Tucson, but in the Sonoran region. So we're going to enjoy that. And a little later on, we're going to talk with Laurice and the good folks at the Sonoran Restaurant Week and so much more. We're going to take a very quick break, our first break of the day. We'd love to hear from you. 520-790-2040 is the number. This is Around the Table. Where are you having lunch today? Give me a call. I'm a little hungry, can you tell? I'm talking about food a lot, although that's my job. All right, we'll be back with more right after this. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's 1:21 p.m., and I feel so naked today, and I couldn't figure out, why do I feel so naked? I'm not wearing my apron today. So every day I come to the studio, and if you watch us on YouTube Live by going to 1030 The Voice, you can see the studio, and you can see our guests, and you can see what's going on. I've got all phone-in guests today, so it's just sort of, you can peep. You can peep in and see what I'm doing. Because somebody might want to do that. Because somebody might want to be checking out to make sure that I am where I say that I'm supposed to be or something. And I'm feeling a little naked today. And it's because I didn't wear my apron. But I wear my aprons every day because that's what I do. Because I didn't go to culinary school. And I'm not a chef. I'm a cook. I'm a good cook. I'm a decent cook. I'm not a great cook, but I'm a loving cook. In fact, everything I do with great love. And I think you can taste that. I think you can hear it. I think you can feel it. Now, some things I'm really, really, really good at. And the things that I'm really good at, I call that's kind of like my zone of genius. And I was watching Gary Vaynerchuk on YouTube and Instagram the other day. And he was talking about the fact that if you, at this point in your life, are doing stuff that you're not good at, and you're not getting outstanding results because you're not doing the things you are good at, and you keep doing the stuff that you're not good at, no one's going to feel sorry for you for doing something other than that thing you're supposed to be doing. And how do you know what that is? You've got to know yourself. You've got to know what you're good at. You've got to know how to put yourself in the position to be doing the thing that you're really good at and to not be asking yourself to do all the stuff that you're not good at. So I am the world's worst housewife. I am fun in lots of ways, and I'm a great cook. I'm a fantastic parent, but I'm not a great duster. If you want to come over to my place and see if you can take a white glove and run it along and have no dust on the end of your fingertip of the glove. Yeah, that is so not me. It's just not me. So, but Gary Vaynerchuk, if you don't know Gary Vaynerchuk, he's the president of Viner Media, and he's a frequent guest on the show with us for many years back in the day. And he's based out of New York, and he's first generation. His parents immigrated from one of the stans in Russia. And he is really a self-made man. And his goal is to buy the New York Jets. Grew up loving the Jets. Has a very definite point of view, very passionate, very definite point of view of just about everything. And so Gary V is how people call him. And so Gary V was talking about this very thing, about knowing who you are, knowing who you want to be, being self-aware, being good at the thing you're good at, and not putting yourself in a position of doing the stuff you're not good at. And he used the phrase triple down. You know how some people say you got to double down? And double down is that expression when you're playing blackjack, that if you got aces and you got a pair of something, you could split them, and then you could double your bet and, you know, go for the gold. You know, go big or stay home. He went one step further and said you have to triple down on all the things that you're really, really good at. And to me, there is nothing truer you can say. So last night when we were watching Knife Fight, as it took place at the playground downtown, and it's kind of a late night thing. So I think it starts at like 8:30 p.m. It's open to the public. And the whole thing is a fundraiser for Pat Connors Foundation that has emergency relief monies for people in the hospitality industry who might not have, you know, health insurance, or their car was in an accident, now they have no transportation. It's really like emergency first line of falling through the cracks, like make sure you don't fall through the cracks kind of stuff. And it's a really noble cause, because these are the boys and girls who work really tirelessly in the hospitality industry to make this the city of gastronomy. You can't have a city of gastronomy without these remarkably talented people generously welcoming you, making hospitality come to life, thriving and living in the hospitality. And when you go to events like the Gastronomic Union of Tucson dinner on Sunday night, or the knife fight last night, you have to recognize that this is an exceptional, exceptional city for the camaraderie and the collegiality and the talent and the flat out love and intention of everybody that's working in this business. Because if you're here, you're here because you want to be. And if you're working in this business, it's because you have to, you want to. There are plenty of ways you could make a little bit more money or a lot more money. There are plenty of jobs that are not as physically demanding, taxing, almost painful. This is an industry that asks a lot of the people who are in it. And so when you get a chance to say thank you back by going to a knife fight, by buying a raffle ticket, by cheering them on, by seeing them playing amongst themselves, one another competing, it's really a very, very special, very privileged kind of experience. Because I'm telling you, cities all over the country, much bigger than Tucson, with maybe even more renowned restaurateurs, TV chefs, celebrity chefs, Los Angeles, New York, Las Vegas, they don't have what we have, which is a bona fide sense of culture and community. So I was watching Mrs. Maisel not long ago, and they have a character on that show called Sophie Lennon. And her catchphrase was, "Put that on your plate," which I thought was always funny. I've never used it, but it seemed kind of apropos for this. So coming up soon, we are going to be talking with the good folks from Knife Fight. Michael Elefante is going to be with us today. Kelly Fryer is going to be with us momentarily to talk about the upcoming election. Today is Election Day. We'd love to hear from you. 520-790-2040. Please give us a call and let us know what you're doing for Election Day. And we're talking a little later on with Linda Ray, who is the comedy correspondent for the Tucson Weekly. And we would love to welcome all of you to join us for some great comedy. I had no idea that Tucson had as rich a comedy scene as we have a rich craft beer scene and as rich a food culture. We have, in these three areas, laughing, drinking beer, and eating, some of the best in the country. And how lucky are we? By the way, I want to say shout out to the good folks at Sausage Shop. So I got some links of hot Italian sausage the other day, and Ken and his team over there have really, they're just doing amazingly well. Their incredible hot Italian sausage was so delicious. So let me tell you what we did. So I was at an event with Mike Malazzi from Borderlands Brewing, and we were working on a little project together. And I happened to have the hot Italian sausage, and I also happened to have a Bolillo roll in a plastic bag in my purse. And I think that begs the question, did you think you were going on Let's Make a Deal? Remember Monty Hall? I will give you $50 if you have a hard-boiled egg in your purse. That's kind of how I'm rolling these days, you know, in between shows. So I want you to imagine that we've got this fantastic Italian hot sausage link and a Bolillo roll. And Mike and I are like dreaming of how delicious this is going to be. And he said, you know what I'd love to try? I would love to try cooking this in some of the Borderlands seasonal brew that we have. And so I let him make the choice. And so what happened first was there was a room temperature, like an infusion. I don't want to call it poaching because poaching means you have some more temperature to it, like it was actually cooking. So it was marinating in Borderlands beer. And then it got cooked. And it got cooked in a different batch of Borderlands beer. So that when it was completely juicy and cooked, it was plump and it had stayed nice and plump. And it was like those fantastic hot dogs you'd get from one of those vendors back in the day where they like sit in that hot bath. This was like that, only it was much more flavorful and much more delicious. And so that combination of the split, soft, wonderful Bolillaril, and would somebody call me and tell me how to pronounce that correctly, because I always mess that up, and the hot link of Italian sausage from the sausage shop, I'm telling you, we were all dialed in. It was so delicious. I would like that. And twice on Sunday. Anyway, we split that and we tasted it. We tasted a couple friends on it. And everybody was in agreement. It was absolutely delicious. So thank you to Mike Malazzi from Borderlands for inspiring a new way of infusing even more flavor into the already delicious sausage shop. And I know that the sausage shop crew, longtime friends of this station, longtime friends of the hosts here. I know Christy Simone and I are both big, big fans of what they're doing over there. I suspect my good friend Matt Russell is as well. We're working on the pie contest, by the way, that we dreamed up with Apple Annie's Orchard. So Mandy from Apple Annie's was on with us last week, and we dreamed up a pie contest because the peaches are still on the trees, which is impossible to think about, but it's true. The peaches, the Arizona peaches, are still clinging to the vines and limbs of the tree. Not vines, the branches and limbs of the tree. So these tree ripening fresh Arizona peaches, I could stop right there. But then we're going to make, and this is for you, Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness, we're going to make crumble top pies. And not only are we going to have crumble top pies, but I'm actually going to bring a crumble top pie with me to the first Tucson Pops concert of the autumn season in September. So let's just fast forward to the beginning of September. We've got the Tucson Pops coming back. We've got Sonoran Restaurant Week. There's a lot going on. U of A's going to get back into action. So with all of these things, you're going to be tailgating at the Pops. You're going to be tailgating at the U of A. You might even have kids' sporting events. Canyon View Little League is back in action. There's a lot going on, and you're going to want to have some signature dishes to bring with you to these tailgating moments. So let's get back to Apple Annie's and the pie contest and the peaches as I ramble. The peaches are so good right now that we dreamed up having the ultimate listener pie contest. Now, this isn't an original idea. I've been a judge in pie contests for many years. I've been a judge at the National Pie Championships in Celebration, Florida. It was seen on Food Network. And I love pie, going way back. I think some great pie is already made in town here. I love the rhubarb pie at Gus Ballon's. I love the pies at the Beeline. The Cup at the Hotel Congress has some great pie. But do you make a great pie? I make a decent pie, but do you make a great pie? We're going to have a listener event where we're going to have everybody come and meet us down at Apple Annie's, and we're all going to get our fruit, and then we're going to go make our pies, and then we're going to bring them back together here at the station or someplace. We're working out where we're going to do that, because if we have a lot of people, we don't have enough room here to do it. So we might do it as part of our Tucson foodie event. And we're going to say who makes the best pie in Tucson. Now, they do this in other cities. My good friend Evan Kleiman, who hosts a radio station, radio show similar to this in Los Angeles, does a very similar kind of pie experience. And we're going to reach out to her and get some advice about how to get the best pies that your community has to offer. But when you have those peaches late in the season like we do, it is going to be impossible not to have delicious pie offered up. So we want to steer you towards thinking about these pies, and we're going to do that later on in September while the peaches are still on the trees, probably in the next 3 weeks. And we're working out all the details now, but if you want to be involved, give us a call, 520-790-2040. Also, who do you think makes the best pie in town. I'm kind of working on a celebrity judge. So Tim Walsh, who is the pizza review guy of Southern Arizona, he's the one bite guy. He's the guy with a great big fuzzy beard who works at the Good Oak Bar and at Mr. Head's and goes out and does these pizza reviews like the Barstool League guys do. And he goes to our favorite pizza stores around Tucson and he pulls a slice and he goes, "Hey, you know the rules, one bite." And you watch him eat a hot, fresh slice of pizza. It's riveting because he's a New Yorker and he does it with this authentic exuberance. And he's really spot on with his reviews. He gets very specific with the numbers, like 7.2. It's not on a scale of 1 to 10. It's not a 7. It's not an 8. It's a 7.2. Like, he'll get real specific. And so I'm hoping that his expertise and connoisseurship with pizza pies will translate into an experience of judging pie, two-crust pie, crumble-top pie, fresh fruit pie. And so that's what we're working on right now. We are going to take another quick break. And when we come back, it's lunchtime here in the Old Pueblo. Live from the City of Gastronomy, this is AM 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk on the World Wide Web and around the world on KVOI.com. We'll be right back. It's 1:40 p.m. and it's time for lunch. Welcome back, everybody. Hi, this is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, 1:40 p.m. And here we break bread with the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, lawmakers, style makers, movers and shakers, healers, foodies, friends. Michael Elefante is one of the co-creators and driving forces behind one of the most fun, delicious events in town for the hospitality industry and for our community. It's called Knife Fight. And this year's edition of Knife Fight is the best ever. Last night, they competed at the playground downtown at the corner of Congress. And up on that elevated second floor outdoor playland, they had head-to-head competitions between four of our community's best chefs, secret ingredients, just like on TV, judges, just like on TV, a cocktail competition to start the evening off, and all of it to raise money for the foundation that supports this industry, started by the late Pat Connors. I still can't believe I'm saying those words. I still can't believe he's gone, but he was our buddy. And something has happened when we lose people in our community, like him, like Frankie Santos. I think something has gelled our community so bondedly together that it's really not like any other place in the country. Our chefs are friends. They're not competitors. They're colleagues. It's collegial. We're friends. This is the thing you want to see. Friends up against friends having a friendly competition that happens to be ultra delicious. Thank you, Michael Elefante and Gary Hickey from the Charo family. This Knife Fight edition is great, and it's going on for several more weeks, and you could come out and see it on the phone lines now after a big fun late night with these guys cooking their hearts out. We welcome Michael Elefante to talk about Knife Fight. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Listen, I have to say respect and kudos to you because this event has been growing over the last 4 years. And I want to give you the chance to tell people all about, I'm going to have you turn your radio down just a little bit. I want you to tell everybody a little bit about how Knife Fight got started, because this is something that isn't like anything else in the country.
Yeah. So originally it got started as me, well, when I came back from the Ritz and I came back to the family's place, I needed something to give me an outlet to, you know, cook and be creative and challenge myself. Cause we used to do kind of little random, you know, competitions up at the hotel to challenge each other. And when I came back to the restaurant, I didn't have that. And I wanted it. And so once we started the ball rolling with Gut and everybody, you know, kind of getting together and getting this camaraderie going, I brought up the idea and I said, "Hey guys, how do you feel about, like, you know, real cooking competition?" And we kind of based it loosely off of a TV show that kind of had another, like three kind of secret ingredient, but it was supplied by this guy. So we wanted to take it and make it better. And you know, I started brainstorming with Gary because Gary was all about it. And I said, how can we make this better? How can we make this Tucson? And we said, well, why don't we make each chef bring their own ingredient, so that each chef will bring their own secret ingredient, and then the hosting location will have a secret ingredient, and that'll make three dishes. You got to put one in each dish, and it really challenges people. So you've got something, you've got a little ace up your sleeve that you know what you're going to do, and then the other two are just complete wild cards, and you don't know what's going to happen. And it's really led to some really fun challenges. You get to see, you know, this raw emotion of like, oh my, what is that? You know, like, what am I going to do with this? And, you know, they have to figure it out, you know, and every time you're up there, you know, I tell people, I'm like, 45 minutes, it seems like an eternity, but it literally goes by in the blink of an eye.
It goes so fast.
Yeah. You're watching it and you're like, oh, I could do this. But when you're up there and you're cooking, you're like, oh my God, I got 15 minutes left. I'm freaking out.
So listen, Chef Michael Elefante is joining us in his role as the sort of co-creator of Knife Fight. When you talk about this, I think people are really surprised. We know about the shows on TV that are the chef versus chef competitions and blind box kind of competitions. I don't think people realize that chefs actually to hone their skills and sharpen their skills and really raise their creativity, this kind of thing actually happens in the industry. So the TV shows are actually reflective of the kind of things that already existed for the pros that most of us didn't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's brought it to light, and it gives everyone a chance to kind of make a little Cinderella story of their own.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've had some really, you know, you take these really awesome chefs who are well-known, and sometimes you get a sleeper and you know, a little Cinderella story, and they take them out, and it's, you know, it shakes up the industry, and everybody's talking about it for a while, and it's really cool. It creates a really unique buzz, and you find out something about yourself up there, and it really dials you in, and it gets you excited for your craft.
All right. Talk a little bit about the fact that it happens this time of year, and along with the Gastronomic Union of Tucson, summertime or non-season becomes the time of year when everybody that really kills themselves all year long, working doubles and 14 and 15-hour days, gets a chance to do the really fun stuff that they got into this business for. Would you talk about that and remind people that are listening about what happens in this industry at this time of year?
So you know, in the industry, we refer to it as two seasons. You've got, you know, you've got season, which we don't put a busy season or anything like that. We just call it season. And then you've got competition season. And competition season is kind of where you go around and you try and hone your craft. You try and make yourself better. You try and, you know, we're part of GUT where we get to play around and make ourselves better. With Tucson Originals, we do a ton of cooking competitions all year where, you know, we invite, you know, other people to come and do those. And then you've got Knife Fight. So it's really a fun, slow season to play around, you know, mix and mingle with everybody, because during season, you know, from basically October to sometimes April or May, you really don't have any of that
time. And then you need at least a month to recuperate. And the next thing you know, you're doing these fun events in the summertime. And I want to make sure people know about these, because this is what really distinguishes Tucson. We're not named the City of Gastronomy because of this. But if you ever wanted prima facie evidence of the fact that the reason we are a City of Gastronomy is because things like this do happen here that don't happen in other cities, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's a true blessing. And in this community, I haven't experienced anything like it. You know, I talk to chefs in different parts of the country and, you know, tell them what we're doing here. And they're like, oh, man, you know, I really want to do something like that here. Or I don't even know if we have that here. I don't know if we have that kind of community here. And it's a shame because, you know, for a while, we were all like, you know, everybody was kind of trying to be like, I'm better. This is my thing, you know. And then all of a sudden, it just, you know, GUT came around and Tucson Chefs came around, and it just brought everybody together, and it's made for such an amazing experience here that, you know, there's some of us who are just like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime kind of experience that we're all going through, and we're happy to hone our craft in front of people and allow people to experience it, and, you know, allow us to be better, and it makes us better.
Michael, I know that when you at your restaurant. We'll talk about your restaurant in a moment, but I want you to talk about what it's like to be a chef. We see TV chefs, and that experience is like one hair on a head of hair worth of the experience, okay? It's important for you to explain somehow and help me explain and help me understand. How isolating is it for you as an executive chef if you don't have contact with other chefs? How do you feel if you don't have that contact? What happens?
Well, it can be lonely. I mean, you can ask any chef's wife, you know, or significant other. You know, when you first meet a chef, you're like, "Oh, this is great! I'm going to marry a chef. I'm going to eat like a king my whole life." And then you find out, "Oh, wait, no, they're actually cooking for everybody else."
And I'm eating a bag of popcorn for dinner.
Yeah, and I'm having a bag of popcorn and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You know, it's funny. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich yesterday for just that same reason. It's like I can't cook. I got to, there's just too much else.
I don't want to deal with it. I've been cooking all day. I just want to go home and have a peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
But, it can just be you're locked in your kitchen or you're locked in your restaurant for, 12, 14, 15 hours a day. And then, you're in this hot kitchen, so you're tired. When you leave, you just want to go home, go to bed, have a cocktail or something and go to bed. So you can rinse and repeat that, forever and just be in this kind of secluded life and lack of a better word. It's a soloist kind of thing where you're, you're kind of by yourself. And so with this community, it forces everybody to basically not be like that.
Right.
And it's great because you get all of these people throughout the year who just get to, hang out and we have all these events and you get to really experience, life in it. It kind of brings you back and it takes away from the mundane day-to-day drag of, busting your hump in a kitchen for 15 hours a day in a 110-degree kitchen.
Well, what's also fun about it is the wives and girlfriends come, the significant others come, the staff from your restaurants gets to come and meet other staff from other restaurants. In the community, it's like just one big fun experience. And what's kind of cool to me about, first of all, you have a fantastic wife. We adore your wife.
She's great. She's the one that pushes me to be better, for sure.
But what's also kind of cool about this is you are from this industry. Like this is who you are. Talk about your story of getting to the place you are today in your career. You chose this as much as you were sort of born into it. And it's important for people to remember that you didn't have to do this, but it did. It did touch you. It does touch you. It does speak to you. And this is who you are. Will you tell that part of the story?
Yeah. So, my family's grown up having Mama Luisa's for the last, we're going on, we've owned it since 73. It opened in 56. And so, growing up, I went to, a little Catholic school and I would go to the restaurant after, which was right down the street, and do my homework. And then, my parents would be working, either out in the kitchen or out front. And so just to kind of like hang out with them, I just stayed there. And so, hey mom, what can I do? You're 8 years old. Okay. Go pick up bust the tables. And then I go into the back and I would want to hang out with dad. Okay. Well, dad, what can I do? Well, start washing dishes. So, I started washing dishes and busting tables at 8, after I was done with my homework and just stuck with it. And then I was cleaning toilets at 9 in a restaurant. And then dad started teaching me knife skills and the rest was history after that. And that's where I found my calling. And I tried to get out of it a couple times. I tried to get into like computer science. I wanted to create video games at some point, and it just came to the point where I was like, this is my calling. I enjoy being in the kitchen. This is where I'm close to my dad because, my dad was a chef and he passed away when I was young. So this is kind of like my way of getting to hang out with him every day is being in a kitchen and that. So that's kind of it just chose me, and I didn't really have too much of a say in it.
I want to make sure that we also point out that your story is got notes of similarity with every one of the contestants. There's something about this life that has chosen them. And the ones that are competing in knife fight are the ones who have the passion to be so completely immersed in it that even on their day off, they're going to come out and do stuff like this because that's who they are and that's what is fun to them. So yeah. Let's talk about last night's event and who was competing.
Yeah, absolutely. So last night we had the bar fight at first, and then so that you had Zach Deason from Illegal Pete's going against Mike from, I think his last name is Dix, from Playground. And they had a great time. We brought a surprise ingredient that neither one of them, I think, had ever worked with as a bartender, and that was Huilacoche.
Yep.
I'd say that terribly.
but you know what's so funny? The week before, wasn't Virginia and Adolfo, the two competitors in the cocktail fight, saying that they wished that they had had Huilacoche? And I don't know if that was what motivated you guys to go, like, dig out a can of Huilacoche or not, but there we were.
No, it just kind of happened that way. We were going through our little bag of goodies that we have each week for people, and I was like, let's give this to the bartenders because this will be fun. Because, you know, part of the thing is we want to make these people work for it, and we want to challenge them, and we want them to do things that they're not going to be able to do normally or that they would have the desire to. I mean, how many bartenders go to a grocery store and find Huilacoche and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to make a cocktail with that today.
Well, Michael, you know what else is really cool about this? Is if you think about the things that we really enjoy, let's just use the world of wine as an example. Vines that produce grapes for wine that are stressed produce more beautiful, intense flavored fruit with which great wine can be made. There's something about the cycle of growing that requires us to be challenged in order to break through. And because change and growth are hard, right? And so you can't just do the same old thing you always do and say, oh, yeah, I'm growing because I'm doing something that's really easy for me. No, here's the thing. You've got to grow by doing the stuff that's hard. And this isn't hard per se, but boy, is it challenging. And rise to the moment with all these ingredients. That's the part that's really cool. You're helping everyone raise their game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really fun. And you get to see these, you know, Zach competed last year in the bar fight, and, you know, he was kind of like a lost puppy, you know, when the first time he did it, because he, you know, he's never experienced it. And then this year he was a pro. He came out, he studied, he had a game plan. He knocked out the best cocktail of the night, and he, you know, took home the prize and is, you know, moving on to the next week.
And by the way, you know why people should care about this? Because everybody that's getting better while they're competing at knife fight and cocktail fight are going to be better when they serve you the next time you go to their place.
110% agree with you. Yep.
Yep. So who were the chefs last night, and what was the secret ingredient? Because that was a little, I wouldn't have known what to do with it, but that's just because I'm not a cowboy cook.
Yeah, so the first one, you had Ryan Jones from Finney's Landing. And then you had Sam Woodfill. He's the sous chef out at Tankerville Guest Ranch. Ryan from Finney's brought extra hot Cheetos, crunchy Cheetos. Then Sam, I'm trying to remember what Sam brought. It's misplacing me. But then Isaac from the Hub, which was our playground, was our hosting location. They brought Rocky Mountain oysters. So when he pulled those out, besides the groan from the crowd, the eyes of them were just, you know, the two cooks were like, oh my God, I've never cooked this before. Like, what am I going to do with this thing? You know, then you have no choice. You've got to muster up, you've got to grab your bin, you've got, you know, 10 minutes to run downstairs, come up with your game plan in that 10 minutes, and then you've got to execute.
And if something's called Rocky Mountain oysters, guess what's going to be really most delicious? A little fried oyster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Sam delivered, he basically did he soaked them in some buttermilk, peeled the outer skin off, and then gave them a quick, another buttermilk soak to get some more flavor into them. Gave them a nice little, you know, breading and fried them, and you had these.
Yeah,
nice
you put a little panko crust on them. I watched him do it. He fried them beautifully.
Yeah. So yeah, and they were gorgeous. They were tender. That was my first time having them, actually, honestly, too. And I actually went back for more. I was like, oh, those are really good.
Yeah. Listen, in the less than 30 seconds we have left, tell everybody where the next knife fight is located and where we can get information about it on Facebook.
Yeah, so Facebook, if you go to Tucson Knife Fight, there should be a picture of me and Gary on there. And then all the information you can get from there. And then also next week, Monday, 8:30 at Riley.
Oh, fun.
We're going to have a bar fight and two cooking competitions. It's free to come. You know, please come, enjoy yourself, buy some drinks, buy some food, and have a good time.
Hey, Michael Elefante, Mama Luisa's, where is it located?
2041 South Craycroft Road.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chef. At the end of this first hour, I want to remind you, hug your kids, count your blessings. And when we see you next on the next hour, we'll be right back.